And order.
Will not be attending. In fact, did anybody else get the email, or is that strictly you and I?
And no, it says, no, it says all of us.
I didn't notice.
I didn't get a.
This one right here?
Print it out.
Okay.
That one right there?
That one right there. And this one right here?
Yeah.
Old school, it's on paper.
Yeah.
Just checking.
I usually don't have time to do it.
Yeah, so are we good?
We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. So we hereby call a meeting of June 27, 2013. Call this meeting to order. We're here in motion regarding the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
A motion passes. Okay. Boy, that was running number three.
All in favor?
Yes.
Do we get that?
There was no objections, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they have both.
Oh, okay. Should we?
Do I need to sit next to you?
Are there any objections to the minutes as written?
So I guess the question is this the appropriate place to put Rob's comments in, just because?
Why don't we do that?
Clarify.
Do we have to make a?
Because.
We have to move to.
Move to edit?
Yes.
Motion to amend.
Yeah, motion amends.
By inserting.
Well, actually, the minutes are as you guys approved them, so why don't we?
We have to make a motion to.
Why don't we, before you go to the minutes, right now you've made a motion, you had a second, now discussion occurs.
Right.
So this is where we can clarify, and so if you don't mind, because I've met with Rob a few times. So you've got the email from Rob McFarland regarding what he brought to my attention after the council meeting around the issue of the tattoo parlor and your recommendation to the city council. So for the record, I'm going to clarify that the clarification that I believe he has spoke to most of you about was that when 2 weeks ago when the Planning Commission made its recommendation to council, it was the intent of the Planning Commission to do the two following things: to allow tattoo and body piercing businesses in the four commercial districts, which were the DC, the IC, the IMU, and the NB zones, only as permitted commercial uses. However, it was not the intent to allow them as home occupations in the residentially zoned property, residentially zoned areas of town, which is the LDR, the CR, and the HR. So the confusion lied with the fact that when you remove the tattoo parlor from the list of prohibited uses in the home occupation, that then allowed it in every zone. So I think for tonight, maybe the motion could be such that we'd like to confirm Rob's clarification. And then what we're going to do is, after the council meeting, Councilmember Rosen asked that the topic be brought back to the committee, council committee. So the council recommendation is going to go back, or the council's decision is going back to council committee for further discussion, which Rob McFarland is going to attend. If at that point it's determined any revisions to the code is required, that will come back to you. But for now, all we need to do is confirm the clarification, and then I will send that to council, which I've already let them know this is happening.
Point of information. Could you clarify in section 1.53, is that to apply just to residential zones?
It applies to any home in the city that wants to do home occupation, even if you're in
commercial or residential.
Yeah.
Okay,
so. Even though it specifically said in commercial and industrial.
Yeah, so when we added the word, okay, so within all commercial zones, no home occupation business license will be issued for a use that is otherwise prohibited in the underlying zone. So because you have commercial uses in the DC zone, this is a catch-all for all zones that have residents and businesses mixed, that basically is saying if the use is not allowed in that zone, you cannot do it as a home occupation, even if you can meet the home occupation size limitations and everything. So it's trying to find consistency for the homes and the businesses.
I believe our intent was that we would allow tattoo parlors in the downtown corridor, but not all the other residential zoning.
Right. Both a home occupation and a commercial use.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. And that is not where you ended up.
We definitely need to define that in that paragraph or the paragraph at the beginning.
Where we struck exclusions.
The exclusion.
Well, for tonight, it's not necessary to fix it.
Okay.
What you need, because regardless of how you fix it, the council chose made a decision that still is not
right.
Yeah. So what I was hoping you would do tonight is just say somebody makes a motion that clarifies the intent, and you can refer to Rob's memo. Mm-hmm. Because he did do a good job making that clear. And then what he will do is attend the council committee. The council committee will discuss it. And if out of the council committee, they decide it needs to go back to the planning commission for amendments to what was adopted, the process will start again.
So we need to make a motion to accept or add in to our minutes the intent.
Not to the minutes, but separately, right?
So the motion I would recommend is somebody moves to confirm Rob McFarland's clarification of the intent of the Planning Commission recommendation regarding tattoo parlors and body piercings per the email dated June 27, 2013.
So the question of our process. We're in discussion about amending the minutes.
We have a motion in a second.
Right?
Minutes, yeah.
So if I can suggest, we can amend the minutes by inserting this comment, this commentary that's mm-hmm. come from one of our members, make it part of the record.
Yeah.
And then we can secondarily come and cover, if everybody's in agreement with bullets 1 and 2, mm-hmm. that language can be put into a motion to clarify our intent from the last meeting. Because I don't think we cover it just by inserting this.
Well, but
this is just comment.
The way I'm tracking is that we wouldn't be officially approving the minutes tonight. We're not tabling it, but we're trying to get clarification around his statement, and then we come back to approve the minutes.
I think there's two motions you need to do. The minutes do read as you adopted them, because if we were to, if in that meeting your intent was to allow them as home occupations, we would have had to include that.
In the recommendation.
I mean, if your intent was to restrict them as home occupations in those three residential zones, you would have had to put that in 1.53.
Right.
But that was where the disconnect happened. So your minutes, so I would maybe say move to approve the minutes subject to the clarification, blah, blah, blah. Mm,
yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who made the original motion to approve minutes?
I did.
Yes, you did.
The hell were you thinking?
I'm trying to get the party started, quite frankly.
So you right. either...
I got to withdraw my motion to approve the minutes. So I'll withdraw my motion.
And who's second?
I did, but it just has to be the original.
Sorry, I'm taking over.
Now we need a new motion, which is a motion to approve the minutes of the June 13th Planning Commission meeting subject to the amendment from the Rob McFarland memo dated...
June 27th. 2013.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor.
I just like to say that I agree 100% with our chair's comments and recommendations.
I do too.
I do too.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Drum roll.
So, is there anything missing from your end?
Okay,
so now we take, now Rob will take that to the committee.
Can I ask you a clarifying question?
Yeah, we'll be talking about it at the council committee in, that would be July. And I'll give you an update if it's coming back to you or if...
It's a day.
Yeah.
So as of right now, then, the gentleman who has a tattoo parlor in the downtown corridor has a home business license, city can go do whatever they need to do that they were hesitant to do because this had not been finalized, or are they going to wait until this all gets finalized?
Well, this is a code amendment that addresses the whole city, and that's an actual, whether it is an enforcement issue or not, you know, that's
a whole separate,
okay.
Does this, delaying it, does it delay more?
The council approved.
Okay.
So there is a regulation that is in place until July 1st. The interim ordinance is in place until July 1st, and then the one they that you were at will kick in on July 1st.
Okay.
Anything else on the minutes? Without objection, this is an opportunity for people, the public, to speak on a non-agenda item. Anyone wish to speak on a non-agenda item?
I'm Travis Bridgman, 713 Ogle Avenue Northeast, and I'm just actually here just to continue education. So thanks for allowing me.
Welcome, Travis.
Thank you.
See no further comment. Item four is introduction of amendment to the comprehensive plan use designation map and zoning map concerning city-owned properties and the North Bend Post Office.
Okay, so attached to your packet is a staff report kind of describing the proposal and a map. And so basically there are two vacant city properties in the downtown that we're proposing to redesignate to commercial. Currently they're shown as public open space. And there's no proposal right now for those properties. Just would afford some opportunities or could afford some in the future. And the other property is the fire station and public works, and that was a clarification to, well, it's to redesignate it to public open space because it is developed as that. And the post office amendment changes it from public open space and to commercial. And again, no changes are proposed at this time, but the post office does lease that property. So if something were to happen in the future, it is in the commercial area of downtown. So a lot of these, they've been on our docket list to address. And as part of our annual docketing. So we're introducing it at this meeting. We have a public hearing scheduled for July 11th. And if there's any questions or discussion, we can have that now.
So is the public hearing going to be at a planning commission meeting? Or?
Yes.
So I have a question on docket number 6. And a lot of the comment we've always heard is as we're going to develop our downtown, there's a lack of parking. Would the city ever consider actually building a parking structure to address that?
Possibly, yeah. There's, you know, our downtown master plan calls for identifying, you know, downtown parking needs. It could be a part of a city hall development. We could choose an entirely different site downtown. So that's why we had it in here to definitely take it into consideration, you know, that we would need to come up with a plan if we are, if that site is going to be developed that's currently, you know, now used informally for downtown parking.
And if you look at a city like Edmonds, are they privately owned or city owned?
Edmonds.
Sorry, when you say 6, why am I not saying 6?
Yeah, I'm like, which one's 6?
Docket number 6.
Oh, yeah.
Are you talking about like one of these, the parking, one of these two
Where is six? It's right there.
Yeah, that was your docket from October.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a, you know, I think it's usually a mix. I think when it's a smaller town, it's probably more city-owned. You know, when you get to Seattle and their parking structures are privately owned, but...
Well, we also have the Park and Ride, which is... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are looking at, you know, for those that went to the Monday meeting regarding the Civic Center City Hall, as part of that, part of the pro of locating City Hall and Civic Center in downtown is the fact that we can couple that with parking that can help support the downtown, especially since our downtown has been developed without parking in the realm of, you know, the suburban strip mall type of parking. So every business is really reliant on street parking. So that is part of the pro, I guess, to building a City Hall and Civic Center in downtown. So that is definitely something that is part of the overall evaluation, yeah. Okay. Cool. And actually, you know, one of our main needs. And the nice thing is about those kind of uses is when the city needs the parking, it's kind of off hours to when a lot of the restaurants and weekends are busy.
Well, we've got the, generally speaking, the land's still here. I mean, mm-hmm. the space has been mm-hmm. provided for, whatever the parking structure, mm-hmm. even if it's just ground floor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just thinking if this becomes a commercial property, that means there's more of a parking demand and mm-hmm. lost an opportunity.
Yeah.
Now, if either one of the, if the Park Street lot develops, it would, in theory, have to have its own park. The Sydney one is a little different because it was, since it's developed in the kind of the same corridor as the historic mm-hmm. traditional Main Street style, our design standards somewhat waive parking there. However, what we put in here as a clarification is we do very much value that parking at that end of town. And so whatever happens at that lot would most likely be a hybrid and allow for both, because we need to support the businesses at that end too.
So we want to go through 6, 7, 8, these docket numbers just kind of one by one and address them, or I'm looking at the agenda again, not mm-hmm. referencing the packet.
Yeah, the docket numbers, when this That's was just put together, it was, that was the dockets based on your October list. Mm-hmm. So really, I think what you would want to do is, if you agree with the recommendation of staff to change the land use designation and zones, mm-hmm. as part of the, then that would be the motion.
Oh, we don't really even need a motion at this point.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We need a public hearing. Yeah.
So this is just informational. We can chit-chat about it, ask questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're not going to decide one way or the other tonight. Mm-hmm. So I guess the only comment that I want to make is I do have a lot of question and concern around the docket number 8, the post office one. So mm-hmm. I know we're going to have a public hearing about it. It'd be great to hear what other people think about it. It just didn't feel like... Like the first two, with regards to the finding and analysis and the work that you guys do to mm-hmm. say, oh, it complies here and there, traffic, mm-hmm. alignment to open areas, I just feel like that one didn't feel quite as much that it aligned to the other areas, mm-hmm. meaning it sits within a spot that is bumped up against other residential. Mm-hmm. And sticking a commercial in the middle of that just didn't feel as right as the other ones that were like obviously like, oh yeah, that sits right next to a public space already. That mm-hmm. sits next to downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's my only comment about that. And
mm-hmm. well, what
so there was some other justification.
Post office leaves, right? What happened then?
Well, it doesn't keep.
It's shut down, right?
Right. It doesn't keep someone from coming to the city and saying, mm-hmm. hey.
There's a building here. Can I buy this?
Can I buy it? Can I? I'd like to use it for a commercial purpose and ask to get it changed.
Right now, it's considered open space.
Or in public facilities.
So it could be utilized as a public facility, another public facility.
The
You see.
The property. So if you're driving into the post office, the property to your left is zoned commercial, DC. You're right. We thought about that too because it is up against on.
Oh, this one.
High density.
Yeah, high density.
We have a big forest in Blackbird.
But
in the forest.
It's high density slash commercial, right, on one side?
Yeah, it has the overlay, commercial overlay on the one side. So if it goes to commercial and a business wants to occupy that building, they could do so just without, you know, the parking's there, the building's there, done. If for some reason there was modifications that triggered 50% of the value, they'd have to bring it up to code.
Right.
And that would require a 20-foot buffer between residential high density and so they, which really is actually almost there right now.
I think it's pretty much there. With fence and mature landscaping, so
yeah.
Yeah, the only place it would be close is
to the site. So if
the side, not the back.
Because the drive aisle goes pretty close to the
That's the closest it gets, yeah.
And that was probably built before those standards,
yeah.
So I don't know.
We're right. I was just curious if that was
And the post office, this is not being triggered by any kind of
something's happening.
Anything.
You'd be there for 105 more years.
Yeah, we don't really see this being.
We need a post office.
Yeah.
Let's see, merge with
Snoqualmie.
It's a
Well, we thought about that, and also, you know, a lot of the post offices may downsize. So then we thought, well, if it downsized, could there be a ancillary use like that complements the a commercial use that complements it versus then? So we were just trying to, you know, look down the road.
Yep.
Not that it matters if we know of like if their lease is coming up soon or anything like that.
So disclosure, I own property adjacent to the post office property. And I'll make some entertaining comments maybe, I don't know how you look at it. But a lot of folks don't realize that the post office building and property is a totally separate entity from the post office. It's postal service pays a lease like any other business.
Yeah.
They negotiated it's a special nice lease for the owner of the property. But it is that set up that way. So in theory, the owner of that property could do whatever they want to do, given the confines of whatever lease they've agreed to. And I actually put it out a couple of times that if the post office ever did want to regroup and go relocate, that building was built, when it was built to be a processing center. So if you were ever to go back in the building beyond the front desk, two-thirds of that building is not being utilized because the processing all got shipped to Seattle. So I'm not sure where the original docket item came from, but there may be some energy in things changing in time sooner than later, not 20 years.
I think my other big concern with that spot is the concern that exists today already is traffic there is just outrageous. Until that's addressed, I can't even imagine that turns into something commercial and there's, you know, as many people coming out of QFC. There's a lot of people coming out of the post office anyways, but can you imagine if it was also like QFC? Good golly.
Yeah.
Oh, Jenna, you have thought we were going to put a divider in the roadway?
Which one?
On North Benway, out in front of QFC.
Yeah.
So you're going to be made to use both the
Force them to use divider or roundabout?
Well, there was a roundabout.
And another roundabout.
With the median and between the two roundabouts.
Okay. So then would those be forced to have to happen if that, so say hands changed, so a new guy comes in and says, I want to put in a little UPS store and a little restaurant and something else.
would they have to then, does the city then have to say, okay, we have to go fix all this traffic? Do they have to go figure out, build the circle and
transportation?
Well, typically, if there's a development, we would require a traffic analysis. And if the traffic analysis triggered any type of level of service change that warranted an improvement, that would be when it would be required.
So they wouldn't be able to do anything until that was committed to mm-hmm. and done?
Potentially. I mean, if it's just, you know, I mean, no, the reason why I say potentially, if you have a full functioning post office right now, and it downsizes, so its level yep. of mm-hmm. traffic reduces, and then it adds a use that takes it back to the same, or potentially even a little more, but it isn't enough to trigger improvements.
Yep.
They wouldn't be responsible to make the improvements. The city is right now, you know, the plans are to have a roundabout at Park and North Fenway, and Ron Garrow used to coin it the dog bone, which was mm-hmm. the median, and would, you know, address those issues. And right now, off the top of my head, I don't remember where we are on the grant. We're trying to get grants for those. But anyway, that's the okay. conceptual plan.
Okay.
So is it fair to say if the zoning was modified to be to go from what it is now to commercial, that we've lost nothing and gained everything up to commercial as far as land use?
Well, it's downtown,
a way to look at it,
right? So they could also do mixed use residential yep. and business.
Mm-hmm.
It could be quite possible for the site.
Because someone in commercial zone could always apply to build residential, mm-hmm. for example.
Mm-hmm.
So right now there's a restriction to go to the level that we're talking about in this document measure.
My guess is it was probably originally commercial. I don't know when it was built. And then we went through, I remember, I mean, since I've been here, and designated properties, public open space park, and I didn't go back and do the research to see, you know, if we did that. So now we're kind of going back to maybe the way it originally was.
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, it is odd to have, just because typically you don't zone it to the use yes. that's there. And that, for some reason, with public facilities, yeah. that seemed to be what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Unless mm-hmm. it's a park, and then you have yeah. that designated as kind of a...
on the deed or whatever.
Yeah, deed restriction. Keep it apart.
And that parcel to the, I'm going to call it southeast, that mm-hmm. parcel was zoned commercial after the post office construction.
Mm-hmm.
I believe.
The little mm-hmm. one.
I want to say
mm-hmm.
less than 10 years ago.
That's been commercial since I've been here,
mm-hmm.
and that's 7. Because we, at one point, there was a proposal to do a car wash there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess I'm trying to keep us all going on
yep.
this topic. Do we need to discuss it further, or are we going to go on to the agenda item number?
I'm good. 5.
I was rolling.
I suspect we'll come back to that.
I think we'll have lots of discussion that night.
Yeah.
But good information.
Yep. So, without objection, item number 5 here.
Yep.
Minister comp plan land use map. We're going to take this along regarding the Tanner Pit.
All right. So everybody should be familiar with the property. Again, it was docketed. And the proposal is to change the land use designation from employment park and EP1 zone to residential land use designation with LDR, low density residential. There is some remaining EP1 properties on the corner, which is a storage facility, mini storage, and then along the frontage there on North Bend Way. And the remainder to the east is the new Tannerwood subdivision, and to the north is some existing single-family residential and a little bit larger lots. And then that large piece that's undeveloped is the kind of known as the Sigali property. So there has been interest and talk about for some time, you know, what to do with this property. It was there's been a lot of fill imported into it over the years from development, and so it needs to be leveled out, and needs quite a bit of work until it can be developed. But overall, the low-density residential use seems to be more consistent with the area and the adjacent residential uses. So, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I'll just maybe give you a brief recall of where we were in October when this was on your list. Basically, we were looking at 140th, especially on the north side of 140th, as being obviously more residential in nature. And DOT was looking at liquidating the parcel, and so we decided that as a planning commission not to address the overall zoning, because there was other zoning kind of docket requests out there, but to address this one specifically because it is, number one, vacant currently, and number two, the agency was looking to move on it, and we thought, and we definitely strongly recommend as a planning department, that the LDR is more compatible in this area, especially on that north side of 140th. So that's why it's been through the process, and that's where we are now.
Has there been any hazardous waste or anything that would prevent it to be developed in LDR?
No, I think so.
Not that we know of. I mean, I think there's low quality soils, but okay.
We do have, and we did note it in your application or in your
report
that John Day, who is here tonight, is interested in it to build single family residential. And he knows a lot about it, because I think he's done a lot of research on it. So he sounded like he had something to add.
Yeah, I can address you guys.
Sure.
So, my name's John Day. And we actually own the property now. Have purchased it and closed on that acquisition with the state. We did exhaustive soils investigation, because the state doesn't allow any kind of due diligence or feasibility prior to purchase.
Right.
So it appears to be clean. So I can speak for John Day Homes, and also I'm the president of the Tannerwood Homeowner Association. And I, when we got this public notice of the hearing last week, I kind of called an emergency meeting of my homeowner association to advise them to what was going on. I had that last night, and I had about 50 people in attendance, which is most of my homeowners. And they were they were elated to hear of this, and to know that we purchased it and we're planning on building homes on it. But most importantly, they were very excited to hear that it was potentially going to be converted from commercial to single-family residential. When we sell a piece of property, when we sell a home, we provide a disclosure that describes what's going on in all the adjacent pieces. So they all have been told by us that it's commercial and could be warehouses. And, so they're excited to hear of something different, even though it means that the property, we'll bring the property, fill it back up to kind of its original topographic condition, so there will be a lot of activity going on there for years to get it to reclaim it, which the state never did. So anyway, at the hearing, you know, if you all want or need support, I know of about 50 homeowners that would love to show up.
Let us know, because we'll have to schedule a different room.
Don't think it'll fit in here.
Congratulations.
Wait, that
was awesome. Yeah,
that was put us at the theater. That's the only facility, right, to handle 50?
Mm-hmm. No, our senior center can.
Will it handle 50 in there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, we filled it before.
Frequently.
Did she say the senior center?
Yeah. Yeah.
People standing up, shoulder to shoulder.
Wedged together.
Oh, the safety one was pretty full today, too. Mm-hmm.
So there's that information there.
There's a part of me that, when this first came up, that follows the same logic of it doesn't make sense for that to stay commercial. Never did, since we've been dealing with it. Mm-hmm. So public hearing is scheduled?
July 11th as well.
So this will be a part of all that process. Mm-hmm.
We'll probably keep them two different public hearings, so you can make it.
The dockets 6, 7, and 8 are kind of being batched together. I don't know that we'll have to make separate motions for each one, but we'll figure out those details. Those are more of the miscellaneous. This one is specific just to this site.
So if the July 11 meeting occurs, mm-hmm. and that's really. That's part of the process that relates to City Council more than relates to our activity, our function.
July 11th.
Right.
It's your hearing, yeah. Your hearing.
Say it another way. So the voting that would occur that would change the zoning, it's mm-hmm. our recommendation mm-hmm. followed yes. to the council, mm-hmm. and then that dance happens. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it would be productive for us to have the conversation and almost get a motion going so that by the time that July 11th comes in, there's a conversation that the Planning Commission recommends X.
You actually do need to have a public hearing first.
Okay.
So you can take comment if there is something that would be brought to your attention that would change your mind.
Okay.
That being said, the plan would be that if you give your recommendation mm-hmm. on the 11th, the 16th is the next council committee meeting, which is the same meeting where the other topic will be discussed, mm-hmm. your recommendation would go to them on that day.
Yep.
And then they set the agenda for probably the next council meeting. So you wouldn't speed anything up by going down that road. So
I tried.
We're on it.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you are prepared to make a recommendation at the 11th, for mm-hmm. sure, I would do that.
Okay.
We can have a public hearing for both.
Mm-hmm. Can we make a recommendation for both, or one or none, or yeah.
Perfect.
Good deal.
Are we actually gonna wrap this up and?
This is a record, so I'm not saying.
Yes. I'm not saying anything about who's not here.
Well, hold on a second.
Oh no, we heard
it says we have to go till 8.
No. So I just want a clarification. So we're having a public hearing on all of this contained in, mm-hmm. in here.
Yes.
So
this was your introduction. If you're not proposing any significant changes, then basically the same thing is going to come back to you. Again, we're not. The details are just land use designation change and a zoning change. It's a map change, you right. know. So really. That's the effect of the changes on these two maps for the items 4 and 5. So if there's no significant changes or alterations that you're directing us to do now, then the packet's essentially the same, but the public hearing and then the recommendation if you're ready for that. And that's it.
Well, if the packet's the same, do you guys want us to send you an email that says bring your packets?
Bring our
that
packets.
Would be wonderful.
Yes.
Jamie, that was brilliant.
Yep. We'll have to re-email an agenda minutes totally from this motivation. Meeting.
Yep, that's it.
And
so just the minutes, or just the minutes. There's something
that we can make you guys do between now and July 11th with a holiday in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll see me come in with really nothing.
Okay.
You
got a period on page 5.
Well, I have a question on that. Good of the order question. Is anybody else having to go and pay for their mail when they get their packets in the mail?
So it did. The last one that came, not this one, but the last one, I had to go and pay 40 cents.
What?
Oh.
It was.
You know
I think your Pitney machine's not
anything. Yeah,
I think
it's a little hard.
Out of whack.
And I don't know.
I guess I was lucky.
Yeah, it actually can get stuff together.
tell you. I better check with that.
I've had it three times in a row.
Really? Oh, really?
I'm sorry, twice
in a row. And this was a little one, too.
Yeah.
It was an inter-office conspiracy.
I guess I'm a favorite.
Somebody forgot.
He must live that much further.
We're saving some money.
Mine was probably the closest.
The button.
I admire that, you know, figure out a little
is
way.
Is there a motion to...
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Oh, wait. You guys are too fast. Who did that motion?
Brendan
did.
I think I got it on that.
But I'll
get it to you.
I'll let you have it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Awesome.
You're adjourned.